Welcome to another episode of the Coffee Roaster Warm Sessions podcast. Just if you know, I looked at the Spotify wrap that we had for our podcast, and the bulk of our listeners came literally this year, which is spectacular. It means the podcast is growing. But I will say, we come on here nearly every week, almost, if we can.
Wait, hold up. You're saying that we got more listeners this year than the other 2 years?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was.
That's wild.
I know we started the podcast last week with the Spotify Wrapped conversation, but this is what came to mind, was that so many of you have joined on the podcast, which is spectacular. But we literally, the point of this is to jump on every single week, just have a conversation over a cup of coffee, which a lot of us already do. Mm-hmm. And just talk all things coffee industry, business, coffee things, brewing. And so today we're actually going to be talking about how to get your loved ones addicted and hooked on the good juice. Especially with the holidays coming up, and you're probably going to be interacting with the crazy mm-hmm. uncle and and this is a great time to do some converting.
There's nothing better than taking your crazy uncle from crazy topics to like
crazy coffee.
Obsession with specialty coffee.
Yes. Dang. Imagine if you can, if your uncle can channel all that, the tinfoil hat obsession, if you can channel that energy towards unreal geishas and tasty coffees and home barista enthusiasm. So
the alien uncle is now talking about alien brew methods.
Yes.
And that's all that matters at that point.
That's all. So
too good.
Just saving your holidays from here on out for forever. Good. So let's pour some batch brew. See what we have brewing up here.
And Mark, you're breaking out the OG Hasami.
This is what I used to have. This is what I started with. And then I went to the handleless, and I'm a huge fan of the handleless, but sometimes it's nice to have a handle. So,
if you're not watching this via video, you need to see my reaction right now.
Yes.
No words. I'm just nodding. For those of you who are listening, I'm just nodding with my eyes closed. Did I brew the right coffee?
There's always a very good sign when you ask yourself that.
I think I did.
Was it the one with the Mendez, literally the logo of the coffee on there?
I think it's that one.
It's 11:21 or something.
Yeah, it's 11:21.
Yeah, this is the one I told you to brew. I don't know if you brewed it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty. But I think there was more coffee in here when we.
For sure.
So, yeah.
I don't know if my issue has been brewing coffee too fresh. Like, we had this convo earlier.
Yeah.
I brewed one of our coffees, and I was like, that's not what I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is well rested. What is this? Today is this
3 weeks.
Three weeks off of roast.
Almost. Well, 2 weeks. Sorry. 2 weeks. A little over 2 weeks.
Yeah. This is excellent.
Man, there's something in there. And one thing that I absolutely love, like what I make note of on the coffee, is the experience of the flavor from the moment it hits your palate to even 30 seconds after you've already swallowed.
Yeah.
And looking at that whole progression. And so when I'm drinking this, it comes in kind of subtly, and then maybe after it's been sitting in your palate, there's this really interesting flavor that just sits in there that I don't know. I'd call it stone fruit, which is why we have it on the label, but
it is stone fruit. It is stone fruit, but it's like a dark stone fruit, not plum. It's like nectarine. It's nice. It's very balanced. There's pear on it. There's a slight grape to it, not like a red grape, not a green grape.
Oh man, there's something in the acidity that's like again, when that flavor, when that part of the flavor experience comes up, mm-hmm. it's just mouth-watering. Like, yeah. I don't know why, but it's just like almost makes you, literally makes my mouth water.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's just, it, yeah, it's balanced. It's
the sweet. Well, how would you describe the back end sweetness? It's not chocolate. It's not even like caramely, but it's like sweet on the back end.
I don't know about now, but when I brewed this coffee, mm-hmm. other separate from today, it was like a caramely flavor.
Yeah.
But it's not, again, we've mentioned this before. It's not like, don't think caramel like a dark roast caramel.
Yeah, exactly. Like
it's got this, it's not quite chocolate. It's not quite cacao. Mm-hmm. It sits somewhere in the, you know, in the middle yeah. of those. And it's really pleasant.
Yeah.
It kind of holds, drives that coffee on the tail end right there.
You know, it kind of reminds me of like, if it's not caramel, it's like, you know, the brown sweetened condensed milk or the brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not sweetened. It's sweetened condensed milk is that
yeah.
white sauce stuff. That's like,
but they have tasty. Different flavors.
Yeah. But there's like the browner yeah. one. What's it called? Like, I forget what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. that stuff. And it's really good. It's almost, and it's not, I'm not talking about molasses. It's not that kind of sweet.
Yeah.
It's a clean, almost milky kind of sweet.
This, yeah. For, you know, those of you listening, probably wondering what this coffee is. We're drinking our Guatemala, Huehuetenango, new fresh crop of the Jorge Mendez, which is a staple that's been on our menu. It's been coming back year after year, including this year. Now, I don't think it's going to drop this, actually, this week and when this podcast goes live. We're actually going to be dropping an Ethiopian coffee.
Nice. My fave.
Which is your fave. And we can talk just a few minutes on that. But this is going to be dropping later in the week, and it's mostly my fault. I'm working on the Jorge Mendez story video.
No, which, dropping them side by side, like, take your time. We have yeah. to drop them side by side.
Yeah. And so this is something that's been in the works, and maybe we can do a different episode on this, but mm-hmm. literally this is going to be awesome. It's not going to be everything we've thought of, but it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some things that made shooting this a little more challenging, but nonetheless, there's going to be something that you're going to be able to buy Jorge Mendez's coffee, literally sit down and watch him, his wife, and his sons talk about their journey through
yeah.
Buying their first coffee farm when Jorge Mendez was just dreaming about having, man, he's like, I just want one plant. If I can have one plant, that's great.
Yeah.
To now, they have El Panal, which is, this is the farm mm-hmm. that we're drinking. And then now they recently acquired El Limonar, which for those of you, I mean, El Limonar was a staple back in the day
right,
for
right.
Guats. Yep. And so it's an awesome story. We'll be releasing that side by side. But anyways, yep. this Ethiopia is dropping this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It's your favorite.
Yep.
Give us like in a nutshell what you like about it. Just very little, because I know we talked yeah. about it last time. But
I mean, sweet acidity, that classic, quote unquote, hate saying this, but light bodied tea-like flavors, florals. That's what I want in an Ethiopian coffee. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in a few episodes ago. Like, there's some people that think of Ethiopian coffees, they're thinking about Gujis, natural Gujis that are big and fruity mm-hmm. and that. Those are great. No offense to those. We may have one day.
Yeah.
Who knows? But this coffee is a classic filter coffee. If I want a filter coffee, I want this coffee. Mm-hmm. If I want espresso, I'll probably kind of lean towards like a Guji or something big or something like that. But if I want a filter coffee, I'm getting the Agaro.
Yeah. Yeah. It's solid. It's like, you know, we talked about this, of course, last time, but it's like the other classic Ethiopian flavor profile.
Yeah.
The other one apart from blueberries and fruit and all mm-hmm. that good stuff. So that all being said,
yeah,
how do we convert all of our fellow friends and family and neighbors into yeah. well, I'm gonna say, let's make a distinction. What are we trying to get them hooked on? Is it yeah. and I know we talk about specialty coffee, but specialty coffee isn't necessarily confined to lighter roasts,
right?
So make that distinction for us. Give us something to yeah. jump off of and work from.
Yeah. I think part of it has a lot to do with the experience of brewing a cup of coffee. it's very easy to kind of get lost in the idea of you just want a good cup of coffee at home. There's a lot of ways to do that. Mm-hmm. There's also, you can go to a cafe and get a good cup of coffee, but the experience of brewing a cup of coffee at home mm-hmm. is, I think, what should be the inviting, the part where you get, you intrigue someone and like, hey, you can do this. You can create this cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. So I think if we start the conversation, we should probably talk about the main thing is, how do you get someone from just being a coffee consumer from like a drinking point of view to a coffee home brewer? And that's what gets me excited, because once you get into brewing coffee at home, it's such a deep rabbit hole and you can get lost in it. You can enjoy it. You can be a fanatic. Mm-hmm. You can basically jump on the Reddit train and start, you know, going deep with it, you know? And there's also different levels. Like maybe you're just wanting to, you know, save some money. Like times are hard. You just want to buy a bag of coffee and be able to brew it. That's also fun. That's a good way to start. But if you have a friend who is slightly starting to dabble in specialty shops, mm-hmm. you should throw him a bag of beans and probably get him a V60 with some filters. That's a good place to start.
For sure. Well, in terms of bag of beans, what should, what, I mean, that's a whole, you know, almost rabbit hole of itself. Yeah. What would you recommend?
I mean, we're going to talk about Mir, like, you know, if you can do
a little bit of Mir, but more like maybe even the style of coffee. And I mean, I've been spending a lot of, well, not a lot of time, but, I make my own coffee here at the office.
Yeah. I mean, we have like 5 espresso machines at home right now. Yeah. 5, like a few Breville's.
Yeah,
and
exactly. Flare,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
So, I've been going to Whole Foods to, you know, get my distilled water and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'll always stop by the coffee section, just walking by. I'm just curious, you know, peek in. I'm kind of bummed that they stopped selling V60 Hario filters.
Yeah. They don't sell the ones in the box anymore.
They don't. I thought they always did for a long time. And so, And so I've been looking, kind of noticing coffee at grocery stores. So, don't just take grocery stores, but what kind of, you know, in the broader term, maybe share what kind of coffee, the style of coffee they should get, and maybe a coffee that from our menu.
Yeah. From our menu, starting with that, I would say obviously Jorge Mendez. We've talked about that. It's a very easy coffee to work with. Mm-hmm. That's it. You can mess it up. It'll still taste fine. You can like get very nerdy with it and you can probably extract some tasty stuff. If you're trying to level up, then that's where I would say either go with Agaro or your favorite, the Huayla, right? If you have a friend who's already skilled at brewing, they kind of have an idea. Oh, we're not talking about those friends, but you have a friend who has a knack for brewing, throw them the Huayla. That'd be nice. Yeah. It's already released, you know, or the Agaro when it releases. But I think a good entry level coffee is something that's one soluble, that's easy to work with. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, do you want to complicate it for your friends? Do you want to make it very difficult for them to extract this coffee? Right. They might not even have a gooseneck kettle, like, or they just might have no scale and they're still scooping. Like, that's fine. But you want to make it as easy as possible. Like, don't toss them a recipe that requires, like, a million steps. Toss them out. I mean, well, yes, toss them our recipe. Yeah, that's very simple. Just, you know, 20-320 or 20-300 and we'll let them play with it. To me, that's what intrigued me into brewing, because I was traveling. I was trying to carry gear with me. Mm-hmm. And when you're living out of a suitcase, you can't really carry everything you want. Most of the time, you can't throw in a fellow kettle into your suitcase.
For sure.
Right?
For sure.
So that's what I would start. Something that's soluble, something that's very easy to work with.
Yeah. And I think, well, first off, yes, 100%, get something that's, you know, if you go with my kind of theory is like, if you go with like a big natural Ethiopian natural, and there's just you might get a win or a big loss. Somebody might say, no, I don't like that. That's just a really big turnoff for me. Which might be like, I'm not into this specialty coffee thing. Because they don't realize that there's a lot of different variations and variables of flavor profile. Not all specialty coffee is going to be fruit bombs. Or the other side, where they might try this coffee, the fruity, you know, Ethiopian natural, and might be like, dude, like, you know, like 90% of us who tried the first Ethiopian natural of our lives and were like, we need to sell our souls to the coffee gods. Exactly. So,
yeah.
And it's life changing. So you either have two, you know, very mm-hmm. opposite reactions. I think I would agree with getting like just a really nice, well-roasted guat is the fact that, you know, it'll be just different enough to give them something to think about, mm-hmm. but it won't be so wild that it might be off-putting.
Yeah.
It might just be like, that's good. Yeah. And that's already enough to get them moving in that direction.
Yeah.
But I will say though, I think you bring up a valid point in terms of complicating variables, recipes, scales. And I know scales are an important part of the brewing process.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say is try to make this process as simple as easy.
Yeah.
Because I think the biggest friction that I see in the YouTube comments, on social media, amongst, you know, our friends, family, is just that a lot of people are like, am I really going to spend 20 minutes? They over-exaggerate it. Do I really have to spend 20 minutes brewing my coffee every morning, you know, before work? And I get it. You just want to get out the door or whatever. Mm-hmm. So how can we make this frictionless? And I think that's actually, you know, part of a bigger question in coffee is that there's too much friction to get a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, whether you're drinking, you know, like, let's say a wine, another beverage.
Yeah.
You literally open it, as long as you don't screw up the cork, you know, falling in there.
Yeah.
That's
true.
It's, you pour it and it is what it is. And coffee's not really that way. And so how do you simplify as much as possible? So maybe if, you know, having a scale is too much, find a way. It's your job as that coffee addicted, enthusiastic fanatic to find, you know, a midpoint where they can get a decent cup without insane work.
Yeah. One of those things reminds me of when I got our mom onto the pour over train, right? She was brewing, like, she literally take a filter over and toss it over a canning jar and put a Rubbermaid and just pour water over it.
Yeah.
You know, and she was doing that at work. And the step that I took her ahead is I was like, oh, I get it. Like, you want something easy to work with. You don't want to have to replace a filter all the time. So as cheesy as this sounds, I got her a filter sock, right? One of those reusable filters. She loved it. It was great. It worked for her. She just tossed water over coffee and it's excellent. So that's the kind of mindset I would say to approach. Like, how can you take your friend or that person that you really want to get into the nerdy side of coffee one step farther? Because we know that as soon as they start tasting those things, as soon as they start having fun, that's it. You just need to send them in the right direction. Everything else is going to be fine. So I think the biggest thing is make it fun and make it easy. And then as the process goes on, as that person continues to dive in, then maybe add something else. And when it comes to easy, maybe not as fun, I would say the French press is very easy and it can yield a nice cup as long as you tell them to take the, you know, we've all made the classic mistake in a French press and, you know, either pushing the thing down too much and raising the sediment or grinding too fine or something like that. So give them the little things that they should do to improve their cup and let them have fun with it.
100%. I think there's a lot of things that I could riff off of. I think two things. Number one, this is a great opportunity, especially around the holidays, is to potentially help ease some of the friction by getting them a piece of equipment that's going to be simple, does a really good job, but that can eliminate some of the friction of, you know, instead of showing up and being like, well, you need to buy, you know, a ratio or these coffee machines suck. It's like, hey, this is a great idea, great time to just buy it for them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, let them borrow one of your machines or, you know, something like that where they, you know, they don't have to pay as much up for a great machine. But then on the other side, what did you say at the end there? About the French press.
French press.
Yeah, I think 100% is using also what they already have. And don't underestimate a French press. Don't underestimate, you know, maybe like a Mr. Coffee, even though They're bad. take this as a game. Mm-hmm. How can you brew the best cup of coffee with, you know, your core necessities like a French press, which probably everybody has.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, recently our friends, Sam and Mary, snagged a Breville Bambino at like a Home Goods, right? I mean, Sam and Mary are not, we didn't introduce them to specialty coffee.
Right, right.
They've owned a cafe in Ukraine. They know coffee really decently well, better than your average mm-hmm. coffee consumer. But the fact is they grabbed a $300 machine or less than $300 machine, no grinder.
Yeah.
We grind their coffee.
Yeah.
And they're pulling killer espressos at home, and Sam is pouring latte art at home and having decent. Fun with it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like less than $300 investment. Like you can make good coffee at home doing that. And on top of that, if you have a friend who's interested in the craft, like what a better way to introduce them to something that they can, again, have fun with mm-hmm. and make it easy.
For sure. There's something you said about, So another thing that I think is worth thinking about is the grinding. We all know grinders and grinding is probably one of the most important things out of your entire bar setup. And something I've realized, this might be contrary to popular opinion, but pre-grinding and like the bags that we sell, 8-ounce bags, which is like I think a perfect middle between having too much coffee and not enough coffee.
Right.
But if you grind an 8-ounce bag and it lasts you like a week and a half, 2 weeks,
yeah,
ground, I get it. Listen, it's not the best way out, mm-hmm. but ground on an EK, really great, you know, grind quality. Mm-hmm. And for it to sit around for, you know, a week, two weeks is really, I actually think the pros outweigh the cons in that.
100%.
Then, you know, them, you know, grabbing a blade grinder
right.
or their Mr., you know, whatever, Krups or Cuisinart or whatever.
Yeah.
But they could have like a coffee ground on Nikkei. And you can still get, let alone if you're also buying something super fresh and you're like, you normally would rest that for like 4 weeks. Well, ground means you're going to speed up the resting process. So you know what I mean? So it's not that it's going to taste terrible after a week, a week and a half.
I mean, on top of that, our bags are small enough where I've done this before, where I can roll it and toss it in my fellow Atmos container and suck the air out of it. And it helps a little bit. So that's another, you know, solution is like, if you grind it and you want it to mm-hmm. last a little bit fresher, a little longer for a week, toss it in a container like that. That'll help a little bit. I'm not saying that it fixes everything, mm-hmm. But it does help a little bit for storage, especially it's already in the bag. I don't like making the mess of like, emptying the bag of ground coffee in a fellow container. I just don't like that mess. But I just roll up that bag, toss it in. It's good to go.
100%. You know, totally agree. Any last tips that you could offer?
Man, gosh. I mean, again, if you have that friend, take them on a little coffee tour before you start introducing the coffee.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Just actually. So you can gauge, like, where's their flavor profile at?
Yeah.
I mean, well, one of the things that I'm thinking of Trey that worked at Narrative with me. Trey was like not super into specialty coffee, but we hung out a couple of times. He enjoyed this and that, mm-hmm. and I had a frame of reference to know like what does Trey like. And then again, you can introduce them to a soluble coffee to brew at home, but then invite them to your house and brew them a freaking bonkers natural. And then send them with a Guatemala to go home and leave them in that space, that tension of like, oh, I just had this like nuts, like Geisha from Mikava natural, like competition coffee that was brewed probably very well. And then they go home with a Guatemalan 100%. That's a little better, but it doesn't hit the mark of a like, a crazy competition coffee or something wild.
100%. I think, I think that's actually a good place to land the plane. Cause the great thing about going to a cafe is that you have experienced baristas that hopefully are doing a good job that are serving really tasty coffees. And you can actually hit a few different cafes that are maybe serving different kinds of coffees, different kinds of roasters, flavor profiles. And you can, I mean, it'll be fun to just go to a cafe, hang out. You're already doing that, you know? Yeah. But then also, yeah, bringing that home. And at home, you can nerd out as much as you want. That's your setup. That's your, you know, bread and butter. Yeah. You have a workflow. And yeah, giving them something to really experience, something really exceptional, will give them that, oh, okay, there's something else to this. And there's an opportunity to get a little closer to that.
Yeah.
And chances are, if they try something really tasty and then they go back to what they're drinking right now, which we're just assuming that it's probably not great at all. That's going to play, that contrast is going to, is going to speak for itself. I mean, the more that I'm in this coffee thing, the more that friends ask me about coffee and ask me what the best spots around town are. And, whenever we go get coffee, usually they're telling me I should choose where we go, which we don't have that many cafes, but they've all enjoyed whenever I'm, you know, they're like, can you please name us a different cafe that we can go to this time?
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to find different cafes that serve different flavor profiles, and they've been enjoying them. Mm-hmm. And then they're asking about their home setups. You know, a friend of mine, Matt, we go get coffee literally every Wednesday morning at Narrative. Mm-hmm. And he went from drinking no coffee because he just doesn't like it.
Chai guy.
He gets the chai. Yeah. And then I've brewed him some like really competition level coffee where he's like, dude, if this was every coffee, I would drink this. Wild. Because he doesn't want the coffee flavor. He wants something that's like fruity, something that's tastes different than just what he would expect this coffee.
Right.
And so that's how he's been introduced into coffee.
But. I mean, personally, I'm all about just being that little coffee tease. Let him have a little bit. Yeah, don't overwhelm him. Just, you know, tease him back and forth like the carrot and the stick. Like, follow this way, go this way, down that trail, down that hole, and then you're completely lost. You're 100%. Like in floating outer space, imagining what kind of coffee you'd be brewing.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. So. For sure.
Well, go get your friends addicted to coffee, hooked on the good stuff, the bean juice.
Yeah.
I hope this inspires you to go and reach out and share some good stuff with your friends and family. But other than that, thank you once again. And remember, as we always say, reflect what's good.
Peace.